blessing of being in the Lord's house this morning and the blessing of seeing each of you today. And thankful for the song service and Brother Jim's prayer, and would ask a continued interest in your prayers as we come before you at this time. I'd like to invite your attention this morning, if you would turn with me to the book of Job, Job chapter 11. Job chapter 11, I'd like to read verses 7 and 8. I'd like to read the whole chapter, but let's just confine our remarks at the moment to verses 7 and 8. Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? It is as high as heaven. What canst thou do? Deeper than hell. What canst thou know? Now, these words were not spoken by Job, the servant of the Lord. They were actually spoken by Zophar, the Naamathite. The world of men, ever since this world has been into existence, have given quite a considerable, lot of brain power to God the Almighty in many, many ways. In thinking about the word search, by the way, while I'm thinking about it, you know, I got an advertisement on the computer screen the other day. I don't remember now just how it came, maybe by email or something, but apparently, according to the advertisement, they now have a search engine that surpasses all other search engines. Well, I got word for them. They're about 2,000 years too late. The greatest search engine that we have as mankind is called Scripture. In fact, the Apostle Paul instructed the young preacher Timothy to search the Scriptures. And not only that, but you know, the other great search engine that the Lord has given us is the mind. You know, God thought about those kind of things long before man thought about them. In fact, the search engines that we have been developed by the search engine that God gave us. So there's a little bit of a lesson in that. You know, computers are pretty smart. And one day, that created thing may outdo its creator. But us created things will never outdo our creator. Amen. So, like the little song that we used to hear a lot, you know, he's got the whole world in his hands. So we can rest assured that everything's going to be okay. Even when it's not okay, it's going to be okay. So the question here is asked, canst thou by searching find out God? Now, I bet that, well, this is one of those kind of questions. It's either, the answer is either, the answer is either yes or no. Right? It's one of those yes or no answers, at least initially. Canst thou by searching find out God? Well, I suppose if you're like me, for a long time I answered that question, no. Canst thou by searching find out God? Well, you know, if we think about it, there is that aspect of the answer, no. You know, if God doesn't want to be found, you're not going to find him. And that's an amazing thing if you stop and think about it. Because the Bible says he's everywhere present and nowhere absent. And to think about, you know, that should humble us to understand and to know that there are times that as far as we're concerned, that he's, like the psalmist said, art thou clean, gone forever? How do you say to something that's everywhere present, are you clean, gone forever? Well, it tells us a lot about our relationship and about our puniness and where we are, is when it comes to who God is. You know, I've heard people say, you know, that the lower opinion that man would have of himself, the higher opinion he would have of God. I think it worked the other way around. The higher opinion we have of God, then the lower opinion we're going to have of ourselves. Because God is higher than the heavens. He is he's omnipotent. He's all powerful. He is everywhere present, and he knows all things. And to ask the question, you know, canst thou by searching find out God? And the scriptures itself tell us, you know, to search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. One of the best ways that the child of God can have communion with God is to search his word. Because in the word of God, it tells us about God. It helps us understand God. You know, if I were to begin to have an interest in a certain historical figure, probably one of the best resources for me to go to would be if that historical figure in which I might have an interest had written an autobiography. That would be one, you know, one place to go. You might initially think it could be and would be a good source of information. Of course, the problem is, whoever that historical person might be, they're humans. And I have read some autobiographies written by people that I'm saying, that person thought more of themselves. They thought more highly of themselves than one ought to think. Of course, then I think at the same time, you know, if I were to write my autobiography, I'd probably be just as proud of, you know, a whole lot more proud of my accomplishments than anybody else would be. But if a person were to write about themselves, critically, and be as honest as a person can be about themselves, well, then that would be a good source of information. Well, the best source of information that you and I have about God, that we can touch, that we can handle, that we can wrap our minds around, is the Word of God. It's God's written, revealed truth about himself. And that's important for us to know that. One of the reasons it's important for us to know that as we begin, now remember, this was, you know, one of Job's friends that said, canst thou by searching find out God? Well, you're not going to find out God unless God wants you to find out about him. but there's a promise that God gives us that if we are searching for God, he says, I am found of them that sought me not. You know, if we begin to want to know about our God, well, it's first of all because God's given us that stirring, that want to know them, that want to know him. You know, there were instances when the Lord Jesus Christ was with his apostles. In fact, he said unto the apostle Peter one time, he said, Peter said, show us plainly if thou art the Christ or not. Jesus Christ just looked at him. I can see Jesus Christ if he'd have worn glasses like Brother Clayton and sister. He looked up, have I been so long with you, Peter, and thou hast not known me? The obvious, you know, Jesus Christ had performed miracles and all those kinds of things, and here they are. If thou be the Christ, show us plainly. canst thou by searching find out God? Now, let's think about this for a moment. the Bible, one thing that we believe about the scriptures is that they court search and research. God wrote these words for us to examine them, to dig into them, to try to find out what we can from them. They're not, the scriptures are not to be a paperweight. You know, they're not just to be decoration for the for the dining room, or for the, what's the table you call it, you put in front of the sofa? The coffee table. You know, it's not to be that way. God gave us the scripture, the word of God, to search them, to handle them, to use them. As much as you and I don't have the blessing in the same way that the apostles did. You know, after he was resurrected, he told some of his disciples, to touch me, handle me. You know, just examine me all you want to. We don't have that privilege in that same way. But we do have the joy and the privilege of it by the Word of God. Of course, through His Spirit. And through the Spirit that He's given us within us. You know, to search out, to examine Him. You know, God invites us to put Him to the test. God invites us to try Him. God invites us to even question Him. Not to do so like the Pharisees did, to try to discredit Him, but to question the things of God. You know, I had some mighty good teachers in school, and one of the things that I remember from most of those good teachers that I had in school is that they said, Thomas, never be afraid to question anything. As long as the reason you're questioning is you're searching for answers. See, answers and questions go together, don't they?
Right.
You know, I mean, they're kind of tied. They're kind of married together. And if you'll stop and think about it, maybe one of these days I'll preach on questions in the Bible. I bet there's not a chapter in the Bible there's not a question in it. It's one way we learn. It's also one way we teach. You know, a lot of people that know me, one or two of them sometimes kind of get tired of communicating with me. Because, I mean, even when I drove the school bus, you know, the students would sit behind me and they'd start talking to me about things and they'd ask me a question. I was real bad about answering them with a question. Because I didn't want to just give them an answer. I mean, you know, I could just give them an answer. You know, I wish I could think of a good example, but I can't. But I've had little kids sit behind me on the bus and they'd ask me a question. The answer is obvious as the nose on their face. And I could have given the answer that was as obvious as the nose on their face, but I'd say, well, what do you think? You know, or I'd ask them a question that would lead them to the answer. Well, there's no problem. I don't see any problem or understand that there would be a problem in asking the question that this person asked. Can thou by searching find out God? When, of course, initially, we, as was said earlier, the answer would be a resounding no. But it might not be that simple. You know, God, again, because God says and teaches us I want you to inquire after me. I want you to know about me. And one of the ways that you can know about me is by asking about me, by inquiring after me and wanting to know more about me. You know, a lot of times a young man meets a young woman and he becomes interested in her. Well, I'm sure that if he's interested in her, that he's going to begin asking some questions. Either of her personally, if he's not too shy to, or start asking. I mean, how many relationships, how many long-lasting marriages began when a young man asked his best friend, who is that girl you with? What's her name? You know, etc. Well, that's searching. That's wanting to find out. And if all that works, it's a principle that works in all of our life in so many other ways, let's put it to work when it comes to our relationship, and our fellowship with God, to find out about our relationship with God. One of the most profound questions that a sinner can ask, am I his or am I not? Okay, so the searching here, examination. Enumeration means enumeration. Now examination, a lot of times we're so prone to, when it comes to examination, is we get started. We don't get the answer right away. What do we usually do? We go on to something else. We give up too easy. Well, when it comes to this word, can I by searching? And the question is not, canst thou by looking find out God? It's, canst thou by searching find out God? And of course, sometimes to search, you got to do some looking. But too much of the time, when we're just looking, if we don't see what we want to see or find out what we want to find out right away, then we give up too easy. Because the word searching here means examination, and it means enumeration. Cancel by searching, it means to be, that word as I understand it, in the definition, it means to put all the facts together. You ever tried to figure out something? Maybe, you know, you want to buy a new automobile. Well, you know, there's used to be just Fords and Chevrolets. So you could get out a piece of yellow notepad and start, you know, here's Fords, here's Chevrolets, and you start making your comparison notes. Now you got to have, you know, a whole notebook, because you got Fords and Chevrolets and Nissans and Dodges, and it, you know, on and on the list would go. So what you would be doing is enumerating. You'd be listing all the points, all the qualities, the good points versus the bad points and so forth. Well, when it comes to searching out God, when it comes to learning about God, we can do that. And the scriptures help us do that. In fact, I think one of the best ways to study God's word is by enumeration. You know, whatever subject may be, if you want to study God, well then go through the scriptures every time the word God appears and write down what it says about God. I hope you got a lot of paper. Okay? Of course, most of you do it on computer screen, so you wouldn't be worried about that. I still like to use paper. I use a search engine called eSword on my computer, but what I find out, I still write it down. I'd much rather do that. It just suits me. Another part of that definition for searching is not an examination or enumeration, but it's deliberation. What does that mean? Okay, you've examined and you found out the facts. You found out the information about your subject. You know, that it's number one, it's this. Number two, it does this. Number three, it doesn't do this. Well, once you've found out the facts, don't forget the most important part. And that's to deliberate. That's to spend time thinking about what you've examined and what you've found out about what you've examined. You know, don't just gather the facts and then put them away. Spend time deliberating or meditating. The Bible, the Apostle Paul wrote to the young preacher Timothy and told him to meditate upon the Word of God. Yeah. To meditate. And we all have the ability to meditate, whether we believe it or not. You can do two things at one time. You can. I mean, you're superhuman beings. God created you that way. You can do two things at one time, whether you think you can or not. In fact, I dare you. That's a little strong. Put yourself to the test this next week and just think about what Brother Thomas said today. I bet you a Hardee's cheeseburger that you come back to me next Sunday and say, you know, you're right. I found myself driving down the road, you know, trying to pay attention to what I'm doing. But the next thing I knew, I'm thinking about a Hardee's cheeseburger. What I'm going to have for lunch. Or maybe the husband, you know, driving down the road, you know, thinking, and he's paying attention to the speed limit signs. And the next thing he knows, you know, I shouldn't have said that to my wife this morning the way I said it. See, he's doing two things at one time. Now, we may not always be able to do two things at one time with our two hands, you know, like the cartoon characters, you know, sometimes they show. But we can do two things at one time. Well, so we can be driving a nail as a carpenter. We can be changing spark plugs as a mechanic. We can be plowing a field, driving a tractor. And we can deliberate upon the Word of God. We can think about the things that God has done for us. And we can think about His Word. That's the reason it's so important for us as God's people, as God's children, and as baptized believers, those of us who have professed a belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, to spend time in His Word. You know, if it's kind of hard to deliberate upon something that you don't know, that you don't examine. You know, that you don't enumerate. I've been surprised ever since way back yonder when I started reading a portion of God's Word every day. As often, I mean, there are very few days that I don't at least just read a portion of God's Word. And some days, it's amazing. Some days I'm in a hurry. Or I got 1,000 things on my mind, the carpenter's coming, or we're getting ready to do this, or we're getting ready to do that. And so I said, but I got to do my Bible reading. So I do it, and I try to get through with it as quick as I can because I got other things to do. Forgive me, Lord. But I do that. But God is so good. Way on over in the day, you know what I find myself thinking about? Not what I read yesterday or the day before, but what I read today. Isn't He good? You know, I'm just reading. I feel a desire to do that. Sometimes I feel like I'm too mechanical about it. That it's, I just got to do it because I know I need to do it. But there are a lot of days I'm glad that I made myself do it. Amen. Because later on in the day, that's what I find myself deliberating on. Thinking about. While I'm driving that nail in the wall, driving that tractor down the road, or the truck to town. It's amazing how that works. Well, that may not bless me to find out God from the standpoint of a lot of things, but that is what it's doing, isn't it? At the very least, wouldn't you say that God's the brightest diamond that's ever existed? Yeah. He's multifaceted. He's worthy of our examination. He's a subject that you truly will never grow old of examining. He's a subject that you very truly will never find out. Now, do you know what find out means? Can't say by searching, find out God. Well, you know, sometimes I have found myself in recent times, learning how to do things. I love still learning how to do things. And I've learned things in recent times, even since we've moved back home, when it comes to carpentry and stuff. And I've said to myself, you know, I wish I'd have found that out a long time ago. Well, let's look at this word, find out. The word find out is one, the two words find out, it's just one word in the original. And it means to cause to come forth or to appear. Or to bring into existence. To think about that. Can thou by searching find out God? Well, the definition means, can thou by searching cause God to appear? Or cause him to come forth? Or to cause him to come into existence? Listen, God is not a figment of our imagination. Any way you want to look at that. You know, a lot of philosophers that I have read over the period of my life, and I read them because I like to read. And sometimes, you know, sometimes you can learn a lot about a subject. You can learn a lot about persons in particular if you read what their enemies have to say about them. It's strange but true. I read one man one time that he said that God is just a figment of man's imagination. That the reason God, so-called, exists is because early on in the evolutionary advancement of man, the world in which he lived, he found out was more powerful than anything that he could deal with. And so he invented God to help him mentally deal with the things that he didn't understand in this world. Well, that's good. That's what God does. But God doesn't do that because man invented him to do it. You know, that's one of the inventions of man. You know, God helps us with all the answers and so forth of life. But this word is, you know, I like to think about the definition. Canst thou by searching cause God to appear? Cause him to come forth? Well, the answer to that would be a big, it depends. When it comes to causing God to exist, no, our searching is not going to cause God to exist. In our searching, if we're blessed to find God, because he's already there, and he always has been. And he, again, he invites us to do that kind of searching. But another part of this, this word, this find out, is, you remember whenever God created Adam and Eve, and it says that God looked, you know, he brought all the animals before Adam and said, you name all these animals. When he got through with that, the scripture says, but there was not found an help meet for Adam. There was not found, you remember that's the word found. Well, that word found there is this same word, search. Well, been kind of hard at that point in time to have found an help meet for Adam like him. Because he was the only one like him. He was a unique specimen. All those animals that Adam named, they were in the plural. They had, you know, God made them, you know, in pairs. And he was going to make man in pairs. But he took his time to do so. And of course, there's a lot in that. But the point is, that word help meet, that word help meet means is this same word, find out. They could not find out. They could have searched throughout the kingdom, throughout all of God's creation up to that point, all the things that he had made, and they would not have found an help meet for Adam. Think about it. So God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, took a bone, a rib, out of his side, closed up the flesh instead thereof, and from that he made woman. Now, the amazing thing about that is that here's Adam, and they've searched all of God's creation to find and help meet. Not, that's not one word, that's two words. And help, space, meet. And help suitable for Adam. Couldn't find one because there was none to be found. So God made an help, space, meet for Adam. Well, what did God do next? Did he hide her and say, Adam, you can have her if you can find her? You just got to search for her. No. He brought her to him. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. And she shall be called woman because she came forth from the man. Now in closing, there's a beautiful point in all that. God made the woman for the man, and he brought her to him. He showed her, said, this is what I have made for you. Canst thou by searching find out God or cause him to come into existence? No. Yes. No. Yes. Depends on how you look at it. No, you can't by searching bring God into existence. From the very root definition of that word. But if you're a child of God, and God has blessed you to be born of his Spirit, he's going to give you a stirring. He's going to give you a want to find him out. And he teaches in his word that if you'll follow his leadership, if you'll search, if you'll examine, you know, he says about the scriptures, you know, to search them, they are in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. Of course, the dead alien sinner, I mean, he can search all he wants to. Number one, he's not going to want to search, okay? Number two, the child of God that's been born of the Spirit of God, if he wants to search, it's because God's giving him that stirring, that want to find out. And one of the blessed blessings of being blessed as a child of God is that no matter how young we are, from the time we're blessed to be found of God and to find out God, that no matter how old we become, unless we become cold of heart and bring ourselves into judgment and God disfellowships us, he doesn't disown us, he disfellowships us. You know, given all of that, as long as we live and search for God, search for his fellowship, search to know more about him, God will answer us. He'll bless us to find him. He'll bless us to find that fellowship. He'll bless us to know him. One more comparison. I promise this time I'll sit down. It's like being married to a husband or a wife, isn't it? I've been married to Sister Lane since 1973. I'm still finding out things about her. 99.9% of them are good. As long as we live. And I think we'll spend eternity finding out about the God that's created us. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer.